Good morning. This is Pastor Ron from Lighthouse Church, welcoming you as we jump into our daily manna. And we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and today we're going to begin the chapter 25. But first, we're going to pray. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the depth of the patience that you have toward us. Oh, Lord, you have so many things that you would want us to know and about you and the depth and the volume of your love, but the depth and the magnitude of your sacrifice. There is so much that you have done for us that you want to tell us, but oh, we couldn't contain it all if you just gave it to us like a shotgun. It just would riddle us. But Lord, that's not who you are. And so we ask that you would teach us here today for those things that you have for us. And we rest in that. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So if I were to title Proverbs chapter 25, I would absolutely title it The Pursuit of God. So let's jump into chapter 1, or verse 1, and I'll help you understand that. So 25:1. These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. So that's an interesting introduction to this proverb, chapter 20, 25, 26, 27, 28, that these were proverbs that the men of Hezekiah, the priests of Hezekiah, the Levitical priests, that they're searching through the house of God. And they find more proverbs that aren't in the scrolls that they have. And so they're not ones that they made up themselves. No, they could recognize these were specifically from Solomon, but yet they weren't contained in the context of those that they had as their library. And so what did they do? They said, look at what we found. And so then they added those to the ones that they already had. So what does that tell me? That means that these men, these are the guys that are serving the people, serving the Lord by the serving of the people, serving the king, and they're being faithful to pursue God on their behalf. See, Hezekiah didn't know about them. No one else knew about them, maybe Solomon, when he put them away. And maybe we could speculate, we could say, oh, we put them away to see if they would truly be pursuing God. And when they do, oh, you're going to love these. You know, we don't know that. But we know that the picture for us to take away from is that they're pursuers of God. Oh, that we would be pursuers of God, that we wouldn't be content with where we are in our relationship with God and knowing him as we know him now. No, there's so much more to him. So watch this. It is a glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. And so there it is. God saying specifically, here's Solomon, who the wisest guy that ever, not a wise guy, but the wisest man who ever lived, and he writes, and it's like, what did he discover? Well, he discovered that the glory of God is to conceal things, that he discovered things in his pursuit of God, that he didn't know everything to begin with. And so it's the glory of kings to search things out. Man, it's like, it fills me up. It gives me greater strength in my life as I discover new things about this amazing God, the depth of the love that he has for us. Verse 2, or verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. So, what is that? As the heavens for height. You know, it's like, can we fully comprehend the heavens? And the answer is no. But does that mean that we give up and we don't continue to study the heavens? No, that would be foolish. No, we continue to pursue them because we discover greater things, right? And of course, and then the earth for depths, wouldn't it be fascinating to know all of the things about the depths of the oceans? Wouldn't it be fascinating to know the depths of all the, if you will, the core of the earth? What marvelous things would we find? Well, that's why we keep pursuing it, right? What marvelous things of God are we going to be able to find? I relate it to when I got saved compared to where I am now. Now, I have been saved now coming up, it's coming up on 40 years. And so did I know everything that I know now then? Did I have to know everything that I know now then? No, I didn't. But that was the thing that God put in my heart is a desire for him, a longing for him. You delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you the desires of your heart. Well, what are the desires of your heart when you're delighting in the Lord? I believe it's him and more of him. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate how much more I know about him. But yet I recognize how much more there is. I can't even begin to fathom how much more there is about God. I can't fully understand him by any means. And if God just totally made himself completely known of all things, I don't think mentally we could sustain anything of the sort. I think it would be just far beyond us. But that's not what God's heart is. God's heart is to take it a little at a time. Verse 4, take away the dross from the silver and the smith has material for a vessel. So what is happening? Here's the example that we're given is the taking away the dross. Well, so you have the ore and you know that there's silver in the ore. And so what does the silversmith do? What does the smith do? The one who, if you will, cooks it in this particular case, he heats it up. He puts it in a pan or a pot. And then, of course, he begins to increase the flame underneath it. And as it turns into molten, as it turns into a liquid, then we begin to see the purity of the silver come. And of course, the smith is carefully scraping out that which comes to the surface, which is the dross, right? And so he keeps scraping it out, keeps intensifying the fire, scraping it out until he gets what's called pure, right? So how does the smith know when it's pure? It's when he can see his reflection in the silver, right? And so obviously there's a picture for us in recognizing there's a work that God is doing in our lives. And what's his greatest desire is to see more of him in us. But yet the writer here, Solomon, he writes it in context for us to also understand verse 5. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Removing the dross and the throne of the king, as I deal with things of corruption, then his kingdom would be one of righteousness. And that's exactly what God is doing. He does both in our own lives, personally, corporately, in the body of Christ, and in the world, because God knows that the dross of our lives is the detriment to our lives. Well, there's more that I want to share with you about that, because I think that we need to get into recognizing the establishment of his throne of righteousness in our lives, which is discussed for us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we're going to talk more about that next week. God bless you and thank you for joining me.